Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
All right, welcome back to Good Cop, Bad Cop episode. I believe it's 170, Matt. I normally check with you ahead of time. Whew, you are nodding to me. That's good. How have you been, buddy? I've not talked to you that much this week, actually.
No, you've actually been busy. I've been busy at work as well.
Again, shocker.
We've both been very busy at work. I've just literally come off of, as a recording, I've just finished doing Techers. And then I think it's been exciting. Been an exciting weekend of football, or soccer, as you guys in America would say. It's been very much enjoyable so far. Liverpool victorious, which is always a good thing. Still wearing my shirt from a game, but looking forward to talking about some wrestling with some people we've been looking to collaborate with for quite some time.
Oh, this has been a while, and it nobody's fault at all. We've had natural disasters, we've had just life happening. And third time of asking. Third time is the charm. We finally got. You talked about doing a lot of podcasts. I think somebody might be able to embarrass you in a second. It makes your efforts look pretty puny in comparison. We got Marcus and Dylan with us from the World Elite Podcast. I'm talking Dylan specifically. Dylan, fourth podcast in under 24 hours, I think you said?
Yep, exactly. It's a lot.
Yeah, somebody's getting a little green-eyed over there in the corner.
Not at all. I'm proud is what I would say. Graham, my record is 7 in 24 hours.
Wow. Okay. All right. How long were those, though? These
like 10-minute things? Sometimes up to sometimes a half hour, sometimes an hour. One was free.
How do you do 7 in one day? That's ridiculous. All right. I knew that
I haven't always done that, Graham. But December's a busy month for me. Let's leave it at that.
The thing that impressed me the most is your tweet when you were supposed to come on for I think it was the second time when we rearranged this. You mentioned the fact that you were going to be on the show. That tweet got more likes and more retweets than any promotion we've ever done for our show. So thank you so much for putting the word out for us. We really appreciate it. I listened to your show this week because I happened to be, it was just specifically, I was on the computer at the time and you get the notification like, hey, these guys are on live now. So I was like, all right, I'm going to listen. Probably got a few spoilers for what might be coming up at some Good Cop moments, but hey, that's the way it goes. Marcus, how about you give us a little bit of a vibe about what World Elite Podcast is? Perhaps when it comes out, some of the things that you talk about. Obviously, there's only two of you today. There's normally the three of you as well. So if you want to talk a little bit about that so people can get a feel for you.
Yeah, World Elite Podcast. It started mainly we just talk about WWE and AEW. We'll occasionally talk Impact. Maybe a couple indie promotions. We've helped advertise indie promotions, especially in our home state and other states around the country. Occasionally, we'll talk UFC. On the side, we used to like to talk a little bit about college football and the NFL, but we mainly keep it strictly on wrestling. We're known for doing top 10 countdowns, so we'll pick a topic, like whether it could be like, you know, top gimmicks, best factions, tag teams, or top 10 U.S. champ, like different stuff like that. Mm-hmm. When pay-per-views come around, we do prediction shows and fallouts. And like coming up, our next episode we got coming up, since WWE's been advertising The Rock, you know, it's Rock Appreciation Month because it's 25 years since he's been in the WWE. We're doing a Rock Appreciation Night on our next episode where we'll talk about our favorite things about The Rock. We'll mainly focus on that. Our show we did last night, it was kind of a mini show. We do breaking news editions where they just did the releases again. They did another wave, and Dylan and I shared our thoughts about the releases they've done. And he did his own little mini version of Survivor Series to me because the main prediction show I was unable to attend, and him and the other co-host Jordan did it together without me, and he just asked the same questions to me. So I got my picks in. So
there you go.
And occasionally, like, we haven't done it in a while. We used to interview wrestlers, mainly from the independent scenes, get to know them a bit and tell them, hear their stories. We do episodes like that. Hopefully, we'll get back on that track again. And we like to do some nostalgias. We'll even do a couple flashbacks. And we like to do some crossovers like with you guys right now.
There you go. Now, I'm as the indie person, it would be amiss if I didn't ask. I'm going to say I haven't actually traveled that far south to go watch indie promotions, mainly because I'll say COVID obviously was a big restriction for a long time. And what organizations actually are there in Louisiana? I honestly admit that's kind of like a blank area for me. I'm really not sure. What would be the main one, you would say?
The indie promotion, Pro Wrestling 225.
Okay. Is that based in New Orleans?
Baton Rouge.
Oh, Baton Rouge. Okay. Yeah. Like, I see a lot of different ones on IWTV, but obviously, America is a huge country. There's like so many, even in some of the smaller states, there's a huge number of promotions. It's just one of those where I kind of got a bit of a blind spot, so I really wasn't quite sure. Okay.
I think that's the only one in the state, because trust me, if there's other ones, we would have known about it, but I think that's the only one I could tell. And it's out of Baton Rouge because that's their area code is 225.
Oh, okay. How badly did it hit Louisiana? Like, I would say for my neighboring states, for Virginia, for Maryland, like, there was basically no wrestling pretty much for 18 months. They've literally only just come back. Whereas I know some of the states, I'm thinking off the top of my head, like Georgia, I think it was, like, they seem to be going, I'm not saying continuously, but they were certainly a lot more events. Like, they had a lot of shows with no people there. Then they started to bring people back a little bit. How much did it affect you guys in the South?
Well, the guys I interviewed from PW225, I think they said they only were shut down not even at a year, probably about 8 to 10 months, he told me.
Yeah.
But then they started doing, they would pre-record shows, kind of like what AEW did. They just pre-record shows, and then they just haven't really done anything in quite a few months. But once the new year hit, they started just doing their own shows with no fans. They just do it in their little training facility. Like, yeah, they pre-record and tape their shows and put them on YouTube for people to watch. And they didn't start doing shows again until like the summer. About after June or July was they did their first indie show since like January or February of 2020.
That sounds kind of similar. Matt, I know that we actually watched one together during the pandemic. We watched EWA Maryland. They did the same thing. They had their training area. They went through the drills. They had the matches. And, yeah, people just had to find ways to improvise. Now, I know we're on a bit of a tight schedule, so I suggest that we move on and talk something more positive. Shall we talk about some Good Cop moments?
Engage.
Good. Bad.
Hey, Maxie, do you think people listening to this show like wrestling podcasts?
I would hope that they do, because they're listening to one.
Do you think they would like our wrestling podcast?
Well, if you could call it a wrestling podcast, because we cover the gamut of topics. We have food takes, we talk about movies, and we intertwine that with watching a little bit of the cool wrestling.
We do indeed. This is Cy and Max from the Chain Wrestling Podcast. You can find us at Chain_Wrestling on Twitter. Quite proud of our little show that we do. It seems to make a few people giggle. So if you're interested in listening to two silly plonkers ramble on about some old wrestling and then maybe have a little vote in a poll to decide where we go next, why don't you give us a try? What do you reckon, Max?
Yeah, if that sounds like your cup of tea, go and check out our content.
There we go. I think that'll do, Maxie, won't it?
Brilliant.
Yeah,
same. See, look at that. We can ad lib and everything.
Good. Bad.
All right, guests always get to go first. We flipped a coin at the start. Dylan, you're up first. What is your main good cop moment of the week?
Okay, now it's not to be... sure, it doesn't have to be nothing recent, huh? It could be like something from a couple weeks ago.
I did one from I think 50 years ago at one point.
Okay, well that makes sense.
So it's whenever okay. You like it to be, but normally we're not the most topical of shows necessarily.
Okay, well that makes sense. So mine, I'll keep it more on the most recent side, and that's from AEW Full Gear. 2 years in the making, Hangman finally winning the title. Like I said, 2 years in the making, because we all know it. All Out 2019 is when Jericho beat Hangman for the title. And then finally, their poster from All Out 2019 had all four AEW World Champions on it. So finally, it came around full circle to Hangman finally winning that world title. So and that easily is my good cop moment right there.
my co-host is a total douchebag, and I apologize for him. He's pretending. As soon as you mentioned AEW, he immediately switched off. Now, I had a feeling that you would possibly mention this, because listening to your reviews, I know you went through like the card, and you were like, hey, what rating do you give for this? And there was a lot of matches that you guys gave either 5 stars to or 4.5 stars. So I actually thought it was... I watch AEW, but I'm certainly not religious in watching it. I always try and make sure I watch the highlights whenever possible. I thought it was a great show. I was really – it exceeded my expectations, which it doesn't always happen for those pay-per-views. They kind of normally build them up to make them the big thing, and then sometimes when you watch it, it can be a little bit anticlimactic. I thought it was great. There was lots of different things in there that caught my attention. Matt, I'm kind of curious. Did you even see the highlights?
Yeah.
Are you pleading the fifth, even though you're English? It might be this is his bad cop moment, so sometimes we have to kind of tread around the area delicately. Have you said all you need to say, Matt?
I'll just say that I've made people angry with my thoughts on Full Gear.
Who were you talking to at the time? Was it AEW fans?
Wrestling fans in general. So I was talking to Sasai, to Tanner, to Max, Conrad, Chris. They all basically told me to do one.
Oh, I think you talked, actually, I think we did talk briefly, probably on Monday, so I think I had some idea. Marcus, I don't know what your good cop moment is, but is there anything that you want to add into Full Gear?
It was an amazing pay-per-view. One of the best ones of the year. It's a foot race with All Out, but I'll say the good cop of the week was the amazing Dynamite they did after Full Gear, the National Cowboy Shit Day in Virginia for Hangman, the entire show, plus the a soon-to-be dream match coming up, I'll say, on pay-per-view with CM Punk and MJF. That's a match I want to see
Yes. Yeah, I can say I can't argue with that at all. Matt, you normally go next, but I have a feeling it might be more appropriate if I actually go next in this case, if that's all right with you. I just realized, Dylan, I had a moment once that was 65 million years ago previous. I was reviewing Jurassic Pro Wrestling. I think that's what it was called. I'm trying to remember the exact name of it. So I just like to wind Matt up. So no, it doesn't have to be current at all. I always try and go as far back as possible just to see how much I can get him to roll his eyes. Now, my good cop moment for the week originally. Oh, actually, I apologize. I'm thinking of my speed check moment. Matt, go ahead and do your moment. There isn't a continuity there at all. I'm getting my moments mixed up.
Okay, I'm leaving that in just to piss you off, Ingram.
That's fine.
Okay, as will always be said, I'm the WWE Mark. I'm going to SmackDown for my comment of the week. I'm gonna ask you to guess what my moment is, Graham.
I'm going to guess it would be something to do with Roman Reigns and King. Oh, gosh, I forgot his last name.
King Woods.
Jeez, my brain's fried.
It was a good moment, Graham, but it doesn't even make my good cop list.
Oh, well, okay. Oh, well, in that case, then, I am out of ideas. Why don't you share?
My good cop moment in general, Sasha Banks and Shotzi. This match was very, very good. We obviously on this show have a special affinity with Shotzi Blackheart. You got to see her live in person to begin with. She is obviously, I can share a little bit because she obviously is part of the LGBT community, so I share affinity on that side of things. The fact that she's a phenomenal wrestler, let's just put that out there as well. The fact that she's now turned semi-heel, she's not completely turned, but she's turned enough to have this really aggressive side. The match was really, really good of Sasha. Sasha sold that arm like a champ. She's always been amazing. I mean, we know how good Sasha Banks is. But Sasha in this match elevated Shotzi even higher up. Sasha may have won the match, but my word, Shotzi stock soared in this match. We knew how good she was, but even now Tegan, based on what happened to Tegan being released, Shotzi Blackheart this week, I'm going to use her full name because that's she deserves to. Chef's kiss.
Now, I got to hand this over to Marcus and Dylan. I didn't even realize this. I did cave, Matt. I said last week, I was like, I've stopped watching WWE because Vince sucks. And I said, it won't last very long. And it didn't. I watched SmackDown highlights today. And I don't remember that match being on. So I think whoever did the highlights did a pretty terrible job. I remember seeing them backstage talking, but I do not remember seeing the match at all. So I'm hoping you guys saw something. You can add something to this conversation, because if you watch SmackDown highlights yet, I got to sit back. I don't know anything about this. But you're right. We love Shotzi.
Yeah, I didn't watch anything of it. So I keep with it on Twitter a lot, like with SmackDown. Sometimes I'm busy on Fridays, Darren, while SmackDown is on. And sometimes I'm lucky to catch Rampage when it comes on at night. So Fridays are pretty busy for me. And also being last night doing all those shows. It was very, very difficult to watch SmackDown last night.
But, forgive him for that, mate. Yeah, forgive that, absolutely.
Yeah, I kept up with it on Twitter, though. So I was able to see a little bit of it. But from what I heard, it was actually pretty good.
All I really saw was... when Roman, well, no, it was Jey Uso that smashed King Woods' crown with his foot. Mm-hmm. That's all I really saw that happen. And I'm thinking, oh, this must have been a good SmackDown, but I didn't watch it.
it was kind of decent. I thought it was decent. And the thing that confused me was, and I, obviously, if you pick, follow a random Twitter account and you see just one comment, it's a small sample. I saw somebody give it a rating of like 3.5 out of 10. And I was like, oh, that's unusual. SmackDown is normally the stronger of the two shows. But I decided to watch it. As you were talking, Dylan, I didn't even, if I'd have realized, I just didn't even think. I would watch Rampage highlights over SmackDown. I didn't even think about it. So I watched Rampage. I missed Rampage, but I did watch SmackDown, unfortunately. Oh, well, never mind.
It was good.
Sorry, Matt. I guess I'll try and catch that match then. I'm sure it'll be on the WWE's YouTube page. Now, it is okay. I will make an effort to watch it, but it will be sometime tomorrow morning, I guess. Now, my good cop moment actually changed, Matt. As you know, last week after we finished recording,
do you want to let our guest go next?
Oh, did I miss
Marcus?
I thought Marcus had already gone.
No, you didn't. Went then you threw it to me. Then Marcus hasn't gone yet. This is your system. Bad.
I thought Marcus had said his moment was Dynamite.
Yeah, I did go.
That's better stay in as well, mister, when I listen.
I apologize and I hold my hands up.
I did the good cop. I did the good cop, not the bad cop yet.
No, you were right. You did. We're doing everything in order. It's embarrassing when we do 170 of these, and we've done this before with two guests. Guest one goes, does their moment. Guest two does their good moment. He even said my good cop moment is as well. Like these guys are perfect, man. And then you just totally missed it. All right, my good cop moment has changed. It was going to be after we recorded with Tiffany last week. You know, I was heading up to MCW because I won some tickets.
Yes.
And I was hoping to see Ninja Mac, and I was like, oh, I hope he has a merch table, and he does. And that was going to be my good cop moment, basically talking a little bit about that before we review it on MGB, until last night. I got home from school. I actually left school a little bit early. I had a planning period at the end of the day. I had a bit of a headache, came home, laid down for about an hour, headache's gone. I was like, oh, I wonder what I can watch. So I switched on IWTV. Let's see what's there. Pro Wrestling Magic #Underdogs from last Sunday on IWTV. That's my good cop moment of the week. Mainly because there's a lot of people on that organization who now, if I see they're on, I try and watch their shows. Erica Lee was in the first match. She's actually the title holder. And I'm like, whoa, you don't normally get a champion defending their title on the first match. What have they got set up for the rest of the show? Great twist on that match. I'm not going to spoil it, but great finish to that one. And then who comes up straight after that? Another favorite from Good Cop, Bad Cop. Masha Slamovic is tagging with Jordan Blade. They had their match, and then in the end, they started to fall out towards the end of the match, leading straight into the third match, which was actually a singles match for the women's title. So it was just go, go, go right from the start. But the thing that made this my main Good Cop moment of the week is the main event. The main event was either AC Romero or Ace Romero, depending on which organization you know him from, fighting Buddy Matthews. Now, I haven't seen Buddy Murphy as he was since he left WWE, so I'm not sure if he's been wrestling on the indies. I'd heard talk of going into Impact, but this was the first time I got to see him. If you don't know who AC Romero is, he must be 350 pounds, 400 pounds. He's a pretty big guy. Buddy Matthews superplexed AC from the top rope. There was multiple moves like that. The strength of Buddy Matthews was particularly impressive. For a big guy, they managed to put on a pretty long match with lots going on in there. The commentary was hilarious. The two guys who were doing this, I think I normally watch without the sound on. And for some reason, I had the sound on for this one. I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be PG or not. One of the commentators said at one point, oh, shut the, and I thought he was going to say something else. He said, shut the front door. And then the next moment, the other person described AC Romero as an effing monster, but he didn't use it. He actually said the proper word. It was superb. The power slam from Murphy for a 2.5 count. There was so much good stuff in the show. It was a 3-hour show. I haven't got to watch the whole 3 hours. I kind of started from the, I watched the first hour. I watched the last 30 minutes. But I'll go back and fill in the bits in a minute. But if you get a chance, if you have IWTV, I would strongly recommend AC Romero versus Buddy Matthews. Nice to see him free from WWE and showing a hell of a lot more skills than I think I ever saw in his whole time there. I know none of you have seen it, which makes it difficult. But
you kind of dropped the mic on that one, dude. It's kind of hard to follow up on that, to be fair. But I mean, some of the names. I mean, we saw some of the pictures last weekend when you were at MTW. It was interesting to see that your son is now taller than a professional wrestler.
I'm not sure how tall Ninja Mac is. I honestly don't really know. I don't think he's the tallest of wrestlers necessarily.
But Ninja
Mac, I think he's probably about 5'6". I think. But his height's irrelevant. How am I going to say? That's not his thing. It's his moveset that he can actually do. But yeah, MCW was a fantastic show. I'll do my little plug right now then. That review will be coming out on MGB on Visionaries Wrestling Network on Monday.
Quote, Visionaries of the Media, Graham. It's been over a year now, dude.
Still fall into that trap.
Indeed. Oh. How about, Greg, we carry on with a good cop theme and we maybe move on to the speed check?
We should do. I forgot to set my timer. So we get up to a minute if there's anything else that we want to talk about that you'd consider a good cop moment. Dylan, you went first. So if there's anything else you want to talk about that you considered a good cop moment, the floor is all yours.
Okay, well, I kind of hate to disappoint Matt because I know how much he's not big on AEW, but... I can't go without saying about CM Punk. CM Punk and Eddie Kingston tore it down at Full Gear. This was the match I was most invested in because of that, because of the promo alone. The promo from Rampage just got me invested, and their match didn't disappoint at Full Gear. So that's where I'm gonna stop right there. Even though I got 30 seconds left, that's exactly where I'm gonna stop right there. That was just perfect storytelling, perfect match.
It is up to a minute, so you don't have to use the full time. But it was definitely in. It was hard to kind of pick, when you pick rating those matches. There were multiple matches that were very, very good, and unless you're giving fractions of stars, it was kind of hard to distinguish between some of them for sure. Mm-hmm. Marcus, anything that you have? Anything else that you considered a good cop moment this week?
Good cop moment this week. Go back to the AEW side. Successful pay-per-view of Full Gear, and Hangman finally winning the title, the National Cowboy Shit Day, great episode of Dynamite, getting a CM Punk MJF feud coming, and then, like he mentioned, the whole Eddie Kingston, good storytelling, because it sure was.
Yep, I can't argue with that at all. Matt, I think this is where I have to go. I think this is where my moment was. So my good cop moment, normally it's from this week. Mine's actually from next week, except for the people who were in Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia, who were actually there. There's a lot of local wrestlers who actually made appearances who we'll see on Dark this week. Matt, there was the All Elite is Afraid of the Golden Pinky Society sign. I don't know if you saw that from Benjamin Banks on Twitter. Irvin Legend, who MGB interviewed last year, will be on AEW Dark. Logan Easton LaRoe, Trisha Dora, Willow Nightingale, the aforementioned Erica Lee. Very exciting. Actual Dynamite show as well. You mentioned how good you guys thought it was. I loved Orange Cassidy and Tomohiro Ishii. I hope I pronounced that right. CM Punk and MJF in that segment. Yeah, just bring that on. I'm ready for that next pay-per-view. I'm sure that they're going to let that drag on for a little bit longer. And Danielson and Hangman Page in the ring as well. I'm looking forward for that rivalry building. It looks like he might go through a few people before he gets to Hangman Page, but AEW for me, pretty much like you guys.
Oh, we lost him.
That's Graham's signal gone there.
Oh man.
I will fill for time by this point giving my back my oh he's back. Perfect.
I think I clicked the wrong button. I meant to I thought I'd entered the call to begin with. I was like, oh no. Okay, that was a bad cut moment. I accidentally lined the.
It was great. How about I fill for time while you get yourself back in order while we give my good cop speed check.
Go ahead. Okay,
Jeff Hardy and Drew McIntyre, unusual combination, but I thought we enjoyed it. Pat McAfee waving around Angela, and I generally thought at one point he was going to take someone's eye out with it. Fantastic, though. I'm fully on board the McAfee Express at this point. Petey Williams is being fast-tracked into WWE producer role. Big fan of Petey Williams, so very glad that he's actually getting a career after the ring, as it were. Apparently he's been shadowing Michael Hayes, so he should be a producing producer. That's good. Excalibur on AEW calling MJF, calling him out for wrestling 3 times a year. I love that. And Shawn Spears giving MJF the look. I get to speak?
That's nice to see you watch some AEW. That's good, Matt. I'm impressed.
There were some good bits. There were a few of Valve between, but some good bits.
All right. That was the good. What about the bad side of this week? Let's get to those bad cop moments.
Good! Bad!
Alright, second half. The team's the other way around. Marcus, I think you're up to kick off this time.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Marcus, you're muted, I think. Or I can't hear
you. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I hit the mute button when y'all did the countdown. no, my bad cop this week had to be all the releases they did this week. Because according to Dylan, a lot of people were more upset about all of Hit Row now getting released. They did B-Fab, the last wave. Now they did Top Dollar, Isaiah Swerve Scott, and I keep forgetting that last name.
And Ashanti Adonis.
Ashanti Adonis. I'm going to have to think of the singer Ashanti when I want to think of Ashanti Adonis there. Isaiah's release pissed me off. Tegan Knox's release pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
John Morrison, I thought it was for an injury, but like I said, I wasn't a big fan of the Johnny Drip gimmick, and a lot of people were happy about Jackson Riker's release, and then Drake Maverick got released again, and then a few other names. Like, I think there was only a total of 8 guys that got released. Yeah. That plus with Survivor Series now tomorrow, the buildup for the whole event has been complete crock of shit. Like, it has been less interesting. The way they announced the Survivor Series teams through Twitter instead of having qualifying matches like Ricochet mentioned on Twitter. And then they kept taking people out and replacing them. It was just too much to scramble in your head. Like, make a decision and stick with it.
Dylan?
Yeah, I think Thoughts? Marcus took the words out of my mouth with that one, because the releases were my bad cop moment of the week as well. Ooh. With the latest wave that we just got a couple days ago, yeah, like Marcus was mentioning with Hit Row, because if you listen to our episode, the mock draft, I actually was the only one that predicted Hit Row to even get drafted. And they didn't even make it a few weeks before B-Fab was released in that first wave, along with the likes of Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, and other names. And then the rest of Hit Row was released right after, a few weeks later. So that was definitely disappointing in my opinion. And I saw something on Twitter, and they took the words out of my mouth whenever they said the same wrestling promotion that they grew up loving is the same one that's killing their love for professional wrestling. And that's exactly what WWE is doing for me, because I cannot tell you the last time I sat down and watched a full episode of Raw or SmackDown. But I can do it for Dynamite or Rampage. I can easily do it, because whenever they're killing my love for wrestling, AEW is giving it back to me. So it's just an unfortunate thing with all these releases. So that easily is my bad cop moment.
I'm not surprised there's an overlap. Like, I put out on Twitter, I was like, it's obviously we're going to want to talk about it. We do each time. There's always something that surprises us. Hit Row, I just don't understand that. Like you said, they were drafted. They look like they're on the fast lane. And then a few months later, not even a few months, a few weeks later, suddenly we've got a 180-degree turn, and they're out of a job. It's just baffling to me. Tegan Knox really surprised me. The ones that said that pissed you off, Marcus, I was like nodding at the same time. I was like, yeah, they pissed me off as well. I really didn't understand it. There were some people talking on Twitter as well who I didn't agree with. So what's going to happen when AEW lets people's contracts run out and then they release them? That's different. If your contract runs out, that's what a contract is. You sign somebody for a certain amount of time. They know if they don't get re-signed, then that's what a contract actually is. This is a little different, and I think Frankie Monet was talking about it, or I guess Taya Valkyrie now, as she will be. She obviously had to stay fairly quiet when she was released because obviously her husband was still in the organization, but now he's not. She's been a lot more vocal about it. And I think more than anything, it's the timing of it. I'm going to say we're recording a few days before Thanksgiving. Christmas is coming up as well. I'm sure those two will probably be able to cope a lot better than some of the other people as they've been in the business for a long time. But some of those younger wrestlers, it's got to be very disconcerting that the fact that even those who have stayed, they've got to feel like they're next on the chopping block right now. Like, when is the next one? We know this is not the last round of cuts. There's going to be more. It wouldn't surprise me if there were some more in December as well. And for somebody who's looking to, I don't know, XL, it's obviously got to worry you. It's got to put a doubt in your mind, and you just don't know who's next. And, yeah, I just don't like the manner that it's being done with. I agree the WWE roster was bloated. Vince put way too many people on there to begin with. But the way it's been dealt with, I think, has been very poor, and I think that's the thing that's really upset a lot of people, where it does seem from outside looking in that the AEW family is definitely more of a family, and they look after their wrestlers a lot better. I haven't seen them do any cuts. If somebody's contract runs out, then, like I say, that's a totally different matter. Matt?
I could echo everything, but it's not my backup moment of the week. I've got a worse one, Graham, than that.
Okay, I just wondered if you wanted to add anything in on this first before you went to yours.
I'm equally dismayed about the people who were let go. I personally wasn't on the Hit Row train personally, but at the same time, it does.
Sorry about that.
It does feel a little bit. I'm bringing it in. It does feel a little bit like it was odd to promote them and then release them straight away. I mean, we've seen it a few times in the past. Last year when we had the releases left, right, and centre, and it seems to happen again this year. But they're pushing some of the guys they're releasing. They're pushing. I mean, some people are allegedly about Keith Lee when he was released. Apparently, he had attitude backstage. Apparently Isaiah Scott rubbed sort of the wrong way backstage, which is why they were released. I'm not entirely sure how true that is. It's just a bit sad because I don't want to see anyone lose their job, especially given the market we're in now. As I said last week, though, because we had releases again last week, I'm just glad that now that things are opening up again, so they're not going to be out of work, hopefully, at least.
Mm-hmm. Matt, if you have a very bad cop moment, I would like to go first then, because you did that last week to me and totally threw me under the bus.
You sent me up, mate. Go on.
All right. So I kind of got a couple of things I wanted to talk about. One was I need to stop falling for this, but I posted last week on Twitter the moment with Matt Hardy doing the elbow drop to the ground and totally missing Orange Cassidy. And everyone's going, oh, my gosh, well, like, how bad is this? I need to make sure that I actually see full matches and see context. I'm sensible enough to know that watching a 5-second clip doesn't tell a whole story. And he was trying to sell that as a twist of fate because the referee hadn't seen it. So bad cop on me for falling foul of that straight away. And once I'd read the story that went with it, it made a lot more sense. But really what I wanted to talk about was I saw Chris Dickinson. We talked about injuries last week, Matt, to wrestlers. Apparently Chris Dickinson also got injured last weekend. So this is from the GoFundMe account. Chris Dickinson is the embodiment of professional wrestling, a man that lives and breathes the sport every day of his life. He has dedicated his life to the sport, and now he needs our help. On Saturday, November 13th, Chris suffered an injury during his match for New Japan Pro Wrestling in San Jose, California. He came down hard off a move and dislocated his hip and suffered a fracture as a result. It's obviously really bad when things like that happen. He continued, now I know firsthand Chris would never ask for a handout, but in times like these, we need to look out for our brother. With wrestling being his main source of income and that being put on hold for the next 5 to 6 months, he will need all the help he can afford. Between medical bills, physical therapy, and monthly bills, let's band together and make the difficult time a little more comfortable for our brother that has given everything for the entertainment of others. I think the initial fee that they're trying to get together is about $20,000. I think I looked after a few hours. It was already at $5,000. But, yeah, I say these wrestlers have danger all the time. If they get injured, suddenly their major source of income can suddenly just disappear. And obviously for somebody who was in Ring of Honor as well, knowing that that was about to finish as well, and then suddenly getting injured and now he can't wrestle on the indies either, it's just a culmination of bad things. But yeah, 5 to 6 months out, that's terrible. So thoughts with Chris Dickinson, hope he comes back quick. He's definitely somebody who week in, week out on Beyond Wrestling, I never remember what it's called, it's something like Uncharted Territory, I always mix it up, I always get close to what the name is but never quite right, perhaps I nailed it this one time. Yeah, certainly somebody who we'll miss from the indies and from other organizations as well.
Very much so. Right, so yeah, my heavy bad cop moment. Now, this is going to take a bit of getting up to, so do bear with me, okay? Okay. One of our favourites on this showgram is Lady Frost, of course.
Yes.
Lady Frost, obviously as Harry Gentleman, was recently on AEW as well. And Lady Frost has been on Dark in the past and Impact and across a variety of independent shows. And if you haven't seen her, it's well worth checking out. However, a story broke this week, which I have looked up, and it's an interview that she actually gave on Fightful.com. Apparently, she had a tryout at WWE, which we all knew that she had at one point. Yes, she did. Graham's shaking his head. Surprise!
No, I didn't know that.
She had a tryout.
Everyone knew. I didn't know that.
She did because Twitter went mad about it. She did a one take promo live and all that, and she even had a match with Asuka.
I knew that was her first. That was actually her first match.
That was her first ever match. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was her first ever match. Now that was fantastic, and then obviously WWE didn't take her on. Now that's. As by the by, sometimes that doesn't happen sort of thing, you know. It's the reason why they didn't take her on. Now, first of all, Scott Armstrong, the former ref, is the person who broke the news to her. She did a great promo. She's great in the ring. But anyone, her first match ever was against Asuka, who will make even the most clinical of veterans look like an amateur sometimes, because she's that good and she really should be being pushed more when she's back from injury. She was not taken on because she was, I quote what she said here, like, Scott Armstrong was just like, not to be disrespectful, you look great, just as good as young ones, but we're not hiring people of your age. I'm wow. Like, what the
wow.
I mean, I'm fully aware that there is a certain image sometimes that they like to, but I'm pretty sure that Lady Frost is younger than I am.
I'm 100% sure that that's true.
Yeah, I'm relatively sure about that, and I'm in my mid to late 30s. Okay, I'm waiting for lightning to strike at this point. Charlotte Flair is nearly your age, Graham.
No, she's not. Charlotte Flair is your age.
She's in the 40s. She's in her 40s, Graham.
Shut up. She is not. She's 35.
She's in her mid-30s.
She's 35. You're an idiot.
I thought she was 41, genuinely.
She looks...
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
All that facial makeover looks like she's 40.
that doesn't help, Max.
Looking like Cher. She looks like Cher. That's why she looks so old.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I'm
you're wrong. She's 35.
She was born in 86.
35.
She's 35 years.
Okay. I accept I'm wrong on that side of things. But even so.
46. Charlotte, that's really insulting to Charlotte Flair that you thought she was my age.
Shut up. I'm making a point. Even so, that still makes Charlotte Flair older than Lady Frost.
Correct.
And Charlotte Flair would not be in WWE if it wasn't for her last name.
Mm.
Is she a good wrestler?
I agree, Matt. I agree 110%, Matt.
Is she a good wrestler? I can't argue that. She's good in the ring. She's very good in the ring. But would she have had the doors open for her if it hadn't been for Rick? No.
Nope. Golden Shovel. She pulled a Cody Rhodes.
Do not get me started on Cody Rhodes.
Okay. I'm going to say then, I have a feeling that that time that she had that tryout then, she would have been in her 20s. I'm not sure on Ladies Frost age approximately. It's either late 20s or very early 30s is what I believe. So she would have been late 20s when she had that. That's absolutely appalling. Like, you look at the people who were over 30 in that group. We're talking people. Now, I know they're more established stars at this point, like Alexa Bliss, Becky, Sasha, people like that. But yeah, I thought it was a real shame when they let Mercedes Martinez go. And I think that was a big part of the age, because I think she was in her 40s. But she was doing training with the... I don't understand it. I did not know that, and I think that that's absolutely appalling.
Isn't Turning Point tonight? Because I know she was challenging Mickie James for the title, and we forgot to do a prediction show on that, but I picked Mercedes to win the title for Mickie James.
I believe it is tonight. Yeah, I remember seeing it. I have a big deal with Impact right now. I've actually got a note in my phone saying cancel that subscription, because I just can't figure out, like, what pay-per-views can I watch, what can I not watch. Some of them are available, some of them are not. I just lose track of it. I don't think I've had my money's worth.
The only reason I started watching it again was when they did the crossovers with AEW and Kenny Omega wrestled on Hard to Kill and Rebellion. That was the only two pay-per-views I watched, because I wanted to see Kenny win the title.
Yeah. No, I'm going to say I would like to watch it more. I just find it really confusing. Like, it's never clear. And we talked about this before. They have like three different systems. Like, they have their subscription package. There's a different one on YouTube that you can get. And then obviously you can buy just Impact individual pay-per-views. And it's too much.
And they changed their networks like one every other year and a half. Like, they were on Access TV. What was that network with the freaking owl that nobody knew about? They went from like Spike TV to True TV to Access TV, then that network with the owl. It started with an A. Yeah, they had that on their turnbuckle. That exact look that Matt's doing right now.
That's that was great on the for turnbuckle. An audio podcast, Matt. I'll take a screenshot and then I'll just post that with this when we get to this segment. Okay,
it is a bizarre thing for sure. The thing is, Impact is still going, at least Ring of Honor are not, and Ring of Honor are owned by a very rich company.
Yeah.
They were talking about MJF should buy Ring of Honor. You think he's got the money to buy that promotion?
No.
Nah, not if their reported debts are what they are.
Not surprised Vince tried to buy it, even though all them budget cuts went to, besides the graphics for WWE 2K22?
Didn't they lose $12 billion? Wasn't that the figure that was quoted?
Yeah.
Vince doesn't have
that level of money. It was ridiculous.
They were refusing to review the quarters. Like, I remember I heard podcasts saying that they refused to go over them. So I don't know if they're really losing a lot, or are they not losing as much and they just don't want to reveal it. I figured Dylan knew more about it than me. I just remember hearing that on other shows that there's been conference calls that they refuse to discuss quarter earnings and shit like that, or how much money they made.
It's getting worse by the week, isn't it? And that's terrifying, because I got a lot of love for Ring of Honor.
I was trying to find that damn Owl Network promotion. I don't see nothing.
A Higher Wrestling League, maybe? OWL.
I saw that name just now, but I don't think that was it, but... I don't know. Did you hear anything on other podcasts about they refuse to discuss the budget cuts and all that?
I've heard that before, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've heard it, and it's getting more and more disturbing week by week.
Yeah.
It might have been Anthem Sports, because that's all. Yes. There it is. There's the owl.
Oh, Anthem, yeah.
Anthem Sports and Entertainment. They're out of Toronto. Which explains, because they used to be based in Ottawa. And now they moved to Vegas.
That's quite a change.
So now you got UFC and Impact in Vegas. There's another, they got some territorial promotion in Vegas. I can't remember. It's like one of the biggest indie promotions in the West. Besides the one in LA.
Yeah. Right. I think that's everyone wrapped up for main backups. Do you want to wrap up?
Hey, good job, Matt. You counted them this time. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's pretty good, Matt. I'm proud of you. All right, let's say we go to some fan cut moments.
Good.
Bad. This is fan cut moments because the host and the co-host were just way too lazy to do it. So me and Jackson are taking over.
Hey.
So the first fan cut moment is Bishop from at TW Takes podcast. He said the best cut moment is John Morrison and seven other talented performers will soon be able to do whatever they want, and we will be able to see them more often than we have. And the worst cut moment is when I'm let go from a job, I don't get a 30, 60, 90 days pay while negotiating a new start date with my next employer.
Ben Griffin. At Dan Griffin 21. Good cop moment. Impact turning point looks to be a stacked card. Impact are bringing back Russell House for a special. Bad cop moment. Further WWE releases understand it from a business point of view, but feels callous this close to Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Rob for at UTT Rob. Best cut moment. NXT having a poker segment, actual competition in wrestling. Worst cut moment. The weekly WWE releases. WTF moment. Britt Wet Rest welcoming back questionable characters.
Marsh. At Ref Marsh. Best cop moment. According to recent Becky interviews, I've been right all along about Charlotte. Worst cop moment. Bishop is going to Survivor Series without me.
High five Tom at high five Tom. Good cop moment. In 2017, Hangman was my most hated wrestler. 2021, I drove 400 miles in a snowstorm to watch his crowning moment. Hashtag good storytelling. Then for a bad cop, shout out to my brother in positivity, Justin Time. No bad cop.
Justin at Justin Time 21. Good cop moment. Finally joining you guys. Shouts to Marcus, Dylan, and Jordan. Worst cop moment. Survivor Series becoming just another forgotten event. Zero build and zero reward.
Chad at Chad's underscore mind. Best cop moment. The American Dragon going full heel and saying he will kick in the heads of the entire Dark Order. Worst cop moment. The WWE once again releasing more people for budget reasons. And way worse cop moment. Moria blinding a person because they were told to.
Good. Bad.
All right, I don't know if we'll be hiring them again, Matt. Mason and Jackson obviously forgot to say thank you to everybody for their fan cut moments. We'll be putting out the tweet the next week on Wednesday. We're going to be doing a Thanksgiving record on an all-British podcast. There was one that we missed that came in very late, so I'm going to just read this one. JC at Jeremy in Time 721. Good cut moment. New talent like Shotzi, Austin Theory, and Aaliyah getting high profile moments to shine. And worst cop moment, one of the big four pay-per-views doesn't really feel all that big, with the exception to Big E versus Roman and Charlotte versus Becky. And I think we kind of alluded that to a little bit, like the build-up this year, it's not been quite what we would have expected, possibly.
Could be better for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, well, this is the open agenda round where our guest or guests get to talk about something non-wrestling related. So I believe, Dylan, you're taking the floor. What do you want to share with us this week to break up this wrestling talk?
Well, this Sunday, of course, at the NFL, the New Orleans Saints, which is my home team, the team I love the most, and I've been a season ticket holder 16 years for the Saints. Well, we just gave them up this year for some personal reasons, but they're taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles, I believe, have a losing record. Not sure what record they are. Saints at 5-4 right now, And last night I just joined a podcast talking Saints-Eagles, and it was an absolute blast. But no, the Saints do have a lot to take care of on the offensive end. Of course, they're down Jameis Winston. A lot of offensive pieces are down right now. So it's going to be a true test for the Saints offense that's going against a kind of good, kind of bad Philadelphia Eagles defense. So it's just a wait and see. Hopefully, the next time we talk about football, if we ever do again, I'll be a lot happier than what I've been the last 2 weeks.
Now, Marcus, looking at your cap, it looks, is it possible that you're a bigger college football fan rather than NFL fan? You're muted again.
Yeah. I'm more into college than the NFL, but I mean, I watch it all.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm more of the college expert, football expert, and Dylan's more the NFL expert. So yeah, as soon as I get off the air, I'm going to a game. I'm leaving to go to a game as soon as I get off the air. But outside of wrestling, if it wasn't for College Game Day this morning, I completely forgot. They got a big boxing paper. Sean Porter are fighting tonight. I have no clue who those two are, but that was one of their picks, and I just picked somebody. I was like, I'm gonna go with Terrence Crawford. But you don't usually bring up boxing unless, like, if it was like Pacquiao or Mayweather or those two fucking douchebag brothers, YouTube brothers.
Oh yes, thank you for that. We talk about our law and tech. We get them. Because Mags, my co-host on Techers, we usually talk a little bit of MMA, a little bit of boxing. I have no idea what I'm talking about, so I give him the floor. The amount of people who bring up the Paul brothers and they think they're boxing fans because of it, it makes his blood boil when you see, especially when you know that you've got Mike Tyson fighting one of them soon. And
is it Jake? Or is it Logan?
I think it's Logan.
Whichever one it is, if it was an actual fight, then they'd be a red smear. But the fact of the matter is that Tyson probably paid at least seven figures for this fight.
Mm-hmm.
So he will. It will be a draw, because the fact of the matter is that
of course
the money is on the Paul brothers actually losing one day, and people are going to tune in to watch them get their ass kicked. Pacquiao, when he was fighting one of them, I'm not sure which one it was, pulled his punches. Because if he didn't, he would have killed him.
Logan was the one that fought Mayweather.
Mayweather is who I'm thinking about. Mayweather pulled his punches because Mayweather could beat most people with one arm tied behind his back. And that's... I know nothing about boxing, but I would rather I'd rather know that my combat sport is scripted rather than, yeah.
Your lack of boxing knowledge is so poor. I'm kind of surprised that you're not happy that Paul's facing Mike Tyson, because you'll actually know which one's Mike Tyson in the ring now. Matt famously failed.
100 episodes. 100 episodes. You haven't mentioned that, Graham.
I'm just waiting.
I always like to bring it up whenever I can. You know that.
I'm just waiting for both of them to get knocked out. I didn't order them on paper. Oh, I'll let you predict. Go ahead.
I predict it'd be a long time before you see it happen. Years.
See, I went watched on someone's Facebook Live or Instagram Live of the fights until they got kicked out and they made a new one, because I don't want to go spend $80, $100 to watch it in a tie or in a draw. I just want somebody to get knocked the fuck out. I want it to be Logan or Jake Paul. I think after Conor McGregor and Mayweather fought, I never bought another boxing pay-per-view again. I was so pissed about that result. I wanted Conor McGregor to win that. I only may have rented two boxing pay-per-views my whole life. That one and then Pacquiao versus Mayweather. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That was about 2015, I say.
It was long ago. Jesus Christ, nearly 7 years ago now, yeah.
Marcus, I got some good news for you. Matt is horrible at making predictions. I normally bet the opposite of what he says, and I do pretty well out of it. So you're probably going to get to see Logan Paul knocked out pretty quickly.
Graham,
so you're
not going to have to wait years.
It's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Those aren't my words. Those are Mags' words.
As long as Snoop Dogg is on commentary.
Ooh. Okay, if Mags says it, and Mags knows way more about those sort of things than I do, Graham, I'm going to take Mags' word for it.
All right, fair enough. All right, time is ticking, gentlemen. I've seen signs for Pennsylvania, so time to move on to our final segment, the Devil's Advocate.
Good. Bad.
What is up? What is up? I'm Bishop TW Takes, and I'm here to let you know about my podcast, Terrible Wrestling Takes. On here, I summarize wrestling how I see it, and more importantly, as it's given to us. I also discuss some of your terrible and not so terrible wrestling takes. And whether you're a good cop, a bad cop, or even a criminal, feel free to subscribe where all podcasts are found and follow me at TW Takes Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Until next time.
Good. Bad.
All right, Matt, you were already rubbing your hands together earlier. So we found out that our guests do not have devil's advocates for us. So we're just going to be firing devil's advocates at them. So I guess you ought to explain the rules and do our little disclaimer before we get started.
Indeed. Sisters, brothers, and non-binary others, welcome to Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 170, the Devil's Advocate round. This is a round where myself and Graham, we firing devil's advocates at each other and our guests, who this week are Dylan and Marcus from the World Elite podcast. Now, of course, this is a ridiculous statement that we do not believe, that we must defend for 20 seconds as if it is the truth. If you think we are actually mean what we're saying, then all of you snowflakes out there can please at our legal team, which is because our guest lawyer at Dying Format.
Perfect. Matt, I think to demonstrate this, we should probably exchange our devil's advocates first, just so Dylan and Marcus know what they're letting themselves in for. just to break the ice a little bit. So I'll give you the choice. You want to deliver or do you want to receive a devil's advocate
first? I will receive yours first, please.
You will receive? Okay. And I had a better one and I can't remember what it was. So I'm like, darn it. Oh, well.
Why are you writing
I had to come down? Up with this last minute. I thought I had the perfect one written down. And when I looked at my notes, it wasn't there. All right, Matt. So your devil's advocate from me is this April 1st, I will be doing lots of practical jokes like telling people their shoelaces are undone when they are not, as that will be way more entertaining than watching CXW's second event.
Playing practical jokes is the way you got to be on April the 1st. And of course, I can do that right until midday, Graham. So I can do that the whole way up to it because the show doesn't start until 7:30 at night. So I can do both, Graham. So I can actually defend that quite easily, Graham, because I can actually do all the playing of jokes and then go to the show in the evening.
I don't think you quite listened to what I said, but hey, I'll let you get away with it. You kind of answered it. Matt has had his CXW show as his good cop moment for like 3 weeks in a row. So I saw Jackson Arrow promote the next show and the date. So and I was like, all right, April 1st, line sounds like something too good to miss. All right, what you got for me, Matt?
Okay. Your devil's advocate is simple. Matt's right. Hangman Page should have won the title first time round.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Where Jericho was on his way down at this point, he was a famous name, but that's not the way you build. That's not really the AEW way. You put the people who are the better people on top, and you give them the chance to thrive. So, yeah, they should have definitely run with that story. You could have got stories with Omega much quicker than they did. So, yeah, they probably missed an opportunity there. But, hey, they did it their own way. I had 17 seconds. I had nothing for the last three.
I genuinely believe that as well. I genuinely believe that get put the title on Jericho was the biggest mistake.
I don't think it was the biggest mistake. I understand that they were trying to bring in, like, the wrestling fans were always going to go to AEW anyway. They were trying to bring in the casual fans. And the way you bring in a casual fan is not with Hangman Page, because they don't know who that is, but they know who Jericho is. So I understand why they did it. But as a wrestling fan, I don't necessarily agree with it. But from a business standpoint, I think Jericho was probably the right choice, actually.
We can agree to disagree on that one, Graham, I think.
Now, I guess my question to you then, Matt, is do you have mine is a very general one. So I wrote one. I was like, I'm not writing a specific one for Marcus or Dylan. I'm just going to write a very general one. Sometimes I know you do a little bit of research. So do you have a specific one for either of our guests?
If you do, I'll let you
go first.
I have generic ones for both of them.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you want to go ahead and I'll deal with the time? You can do the first one. You can pick who's going to go.
Okay.
So you have to agree with the statement, even though you clearly don't agree with the statement.
Okay. I'm going to go with Dylan, I think. Yeah, Dylan, you can have this one. Okay. Okay. So your devil's advocate for 20 seconds is, I'm glad they gave you a Sammy Guevara versus Jay Lethal for free. I wouldn't pay anything for that crap.
Oh, absolutely. They, of course, they gave it to us on free TV, and they absolutely tore the house down. So regardless if it was on a pay-per-view, whether it was on Dynamite, I would have watched it regardless. And I think it was actually good television.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
I don't care if it was free or if it cost me $50, I'd have still watched it.
Can I had to come up with 20 seconds. That was tough.
Can I say, I love the fact that Marcus tagged himself in at the
first
one
that
ever happened.
I've never seen a collaboration before.
That was
Marcus
great.
Marcus took the hot tag to fill the time.
That was that was an easy one right there. I was getting worried like, oh, they're gonna ask me something I probably don't know or have no comment on. But no, when I heard that, I was like, I smiled. I did a Joker smile. Like, yeah, I'm getting my two cents in too.
That was like the pitcher and then the relief pitcher coming in like right at the end there. Just for those like it was perfect. I really enjoyed that one.
That was a double play in the bottom of the ninth.
Now, Marcus, I don't know if you did hear this story or not. It's very possibly not, so you're going to have to listen carefully to this one. Your devil's advocate from me is, once I get my timer set up again, with People magazine reporting that Roman Reigns blasts Christmas music to embarrass his 13-year-old daughter when dropping her off at school in the middle of November, this should be employed by his heel persona character on WWE as well.
I would do the same for my kids because I'm not a big fan of Christmas music, and what a way to embarrass somebody is to show something that I'm not a fan of. And I love Christmas, I'm just not a big fan of the music. So I give dubs to Roman Reigns for putting some little fun in your action as a full-time heels tribal chief and head of the table.
Oh, did you notice that, Matt? The little speed up at the end to make sure it was exactly on 20 seconds. Nicely played. Well
I was staring. I was staring at that clock while I was talking.
I tell you what, we've got a couple of moments. Does Marcus want my devil's advocate as well?
Yes, I'll take it.
Okay, Greg, would you mind giving us the clock, please, sir?
Oh, you want the clock back up again?
Absolutely.
I want to finish it because I've seen talk shows where they go at least 2 seconds after the buzzer goes off, especially on ESPN.
Exactly, on the buzzer, nail it.
Okay. That's what it is, the buzzer.
Okay, so your second devil's advocate then, Marcus. I'm going to wait for you to finish drinking.
Let him get a drink first. Got to wet that palate.
It's just water.
No, that's fine. But your devil's advocate for me is John Morrison isn't on the Miz's level, which is the reason why he deserved to be fired.
Of course he's not on his level. Miz is the so-called two-time Grand Slam champion, must-see WWE superstar, also on Dancing with the Stars, which Morrison, I think, wasn't on as well. Miz has been in movies. Morris hasn't. Miz got the hot wife. Well, so does John Morrison, but Miz just survives in one word, awesome.
If I didn't know better, I would say somebody had been practicing, Matt.
I've experience being on radios and talk shows before, so
I've got to say that both of you did very, very well. Actually, we've had people who have not been able to hack it, as it were. You guys,
did they at least have a big pause? They'd be like, they're awesome,
yeah.
And they'd be scratching their head, and they realize you already went 40 seconds when you're supposed to go 20.
We've had a few of those, unfortunately. Some people
we've had a few know. Where they've just totally disagreed with the statement as well. Where they're like, no, that's not true.
Or we had someone just completely laugh for the entire thing because it was so funny. That's fine though. That was fine. That was comedy gold. It was beautiful.
I think three weeks ago, we had one person who didn't even say anything for the whole 20 seconds.
I could have been in my Orange Cassidy costume and then just did the thumbs up when he asked me the devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
I did not speak for 20 seconds, Graham. That is true. Just so you know,
I should have actually sent a message to both of these guys and say, hey, make sure your devil's advocate is based on CM Punk, and then you wouldn't have said anything at all. Well, that would have been a great tactic. He refuses to talk about CM Punk. He's very petty.
Now, I kind of want to do a devil's advocate now. I don't know who wants to take this one. Since it involves CM Punk.
Oh, bring it.
Okay, this one will be for Matt. Okay. This will be your devil's advocate. You've probably seen it on Twitter, but, you know, it was about, a month or 2 months ago, Roman Reigns made it to one full year as Universal Champion. So this was back at the end of September. But CM Punk was the better longest reigning champion at 434 days because he actually defended his title.
Phil Brooks, when he was in WWE, he certainly had the ability and he had the fan base behind him to create that amazing 400 plus day reign. He defended the championship in TLC matches. He defended the title in triple threat matches. He won over time, but that's because he was bringing in the money for the ice cream bars for Vince.
That was you hated every moment of that 20 seconds, though, so it was totally worth it.
Absolutely. Just so you know, by the way, because we didn't do speed check for Bad Cop this week, I did have two little things down here. MJF has wrestled 13 times in 2021.
I was going to say, I know he had more than three.
13 times. Shawn Spears has had more matches in AEW than he has this year.
And he's the worst guy on the roster.
Wow. And was he carrying an injury at any point? Do we know?
Nope.
Is that why?
Nope.
No. Okay.
Just let me wrestling. So.
I think Dylan should do an devil's advocate to Graham if he can think of one.
Oh, man.
Talk about putting somebody on the spot.
I'll let you think about it, Dylan, quickly while I give you my other one. That Phil Brooks hasn't lost in AEW yet. Isn't he meant to be putting people over?
The one that Matt refused to defend was CM Punk said that he was going to put over the younger talent, and there was no better demonstration of that than his match with 46-year-old Bobby Fish. And he refused to speak for 20 seconds. I think that was pretty much what it was, right, Matt?
I was waiting for you to say Darby Allin.
Yeah, budget sting, basically, yeah.
I think I'm off the hook, right, Dylan?
I think I may have one.
I think I may have one,
oh,
too.
Oh, okay. I got to switch my iPod back on again then. All right, let me get my let me get my 20 seconds back.
Gotcha. All
so right, Roman I got
Reigns
it.
So Roman Reigns is obviously the hottest thing in the company right now in WWE because of his gimmick, the Tribal Chief. So right now, I think if he did not have that Tribal Chief gimmick, I think he only uses it right now to hide his shitty wrestling.
Well, absolutely. Everybody needs a gimmick in wrestling. That's what it's all about, right? You got to try get some attention on yourself. So absolutely, if he didn't lose that, then we'd obviously start to see gaps in his knowledge. That's why he pulls people around the Usos around him as well. He's got to try and hide those. You get as many people there as possible. Why do you think he's got Paul Heyman there as his voice as well? That's exactly what he's doing to try and hide those inadequacies he has. Wasn't the word I was looking for, but I only had 1 second left, and I couldn't
think. We're going to get a lot of heat and shit, or we're going to get a lot of love for him saying that Roman is a shitty wrestler.
That is why it's devil's advocate, because it's a statement you do not believe in.
That's why we do a disclaimer at the start. My son loves Roman Reigns. It's his favorite wrestler. I'm actually a big Roman Reigns fan. Even when everyone else on WWE hated him, I was actually
me too. I liked all three of them.
Yeah.
The problem is that we've mentioned this before, is that it wasn't the fact that we didn't like him. We liked him fine, but they didn't let him get over organically. That's the only thing. They didn't do it properly. And now he's over organically. He's the biggest thing on the brand. They should have done this 5 years ago.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
I think I saw The Shield had their first match 9 years ago this week. I think I saw somewhere.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Right, we need to wrap this up, Graham.
We absolutely need to wrap this up. Marcus, Dylan, thank you so much for appearing this week. This has been a lot of fun. I always like it when we can talk some AEW because I know Matt's taking Matt out of his comfort zone a little bit. Once more, tell us where we can find you on Twitter. Tell us where we can find the podcast. And, perhaps when your next episode's coming out as well so we know when to look out for it.
Oh, certainly. For our Twitter accounts, you can find me at RealDylanAbear. You can find Marcus at Marcus Hay. The other co-host of the World Elite Podcast, you can find him at Jordan_J2000. And then you can find our podcast at World Elite Pod. Our live streams can be found on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And, of course, we're on all audio platforms. Next episode will be on Monday. Actually, me and Jordan are getting on a live stream for, of course, the Survivor Series Fallout. And then Wednesday, we'll be doing the 25th anniversary of The Rock. So you can definitely be looking forward to those two.
Absolutely. Perfect. Matt, take us to the finish, sir.
I will take us to the finish. Thank you once again to Marcus and to Dylan. You guys were fantastic. Graham, we'll be back next week recording our Thanksgiving episode with no Americans. Get lost, y'all. You kicked us out of the country. We're out of here.
We did that on Independence Day as well. I think that might be our new thing. Every American holiday, we just have English guests on. Hey, it works for us. Boom. Oh, yeah.
Music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/